How about this?
Oh, that looks good. Minnesota? Oh, you're
Yeah.
wearing a Timberwolves
Anthony Edwards,
jersey?
baby.
Good. Devin's constantly buying stuff now.
It's
How much do you buy? Like literally a week? Like you get a jersey or a hoodie, some a week, one a week?
I've gotten four jerseys now. And
Who's your are
I
these
get
your
them, I
favorite
usually
players,
find
you
them,
would say?
I get them on sale. So like,
He does
I
get them on
seriously,
sale.
I mean, jerseys are very expensive, like
It was super expensive.
$100 a jersey for a
Yeah.
normal new one. So I'll on Cyber Monday, Black Friday that weekend, I went and I was like, the boys wanted some. And I was like, ooh, I'm going to go see if they have any good deals. And there
Yeah.
was like players like Kevin Durant for the Nets or James Harden for the Rockets, you know, players' previous teams for like $11. $11, you know. So I'm
That's
like, oh,
cool.
I'm going to buy a bunch of these because I mean, they're normally almost 10 times that much. So, and then I would occasionally see one for me on sale for a little bit. So I would just buy that too. But this, I don't know why. I just like it.
Who all's jersey did you buy for $11?
For the kids, not mine. For the boys, I bought. They have several each now too. Just they
You didn't
just
buy a
ask for them
James
for their
Harden
birthdays.
jersey.
It's like a Rockets. James Harden were on the Rockets.
But you're not even a James Harden fan, are you?
For the kids,
They are?
not for
I know, but
me.
are they fans? What I'm saying, are they
It
fans
it's
of
not
James
it's
Harden? They don't care.
it they don't care. It's
I
just
like how
jersey.
kids get stuff like that. Like, we don't even let our kids like drink real fizzy waters. You know what I mean? It's like
You're right.
you don't drink those fizzy waters. Those are for us, you know.
I'm not gonna buy a
I
hundred
give you a
dollar
discount
jersey.
jersey.
I'm not gonna buy a $100 jersey that Remy's gonna grow out of in 3 months. That ain't gonna happen. So
Sure.
I'll buy. They just like jerseys. They think they're neat. And of course they have a couple that are like players they really like.
How much is that
This
Edwards?
one was on sale for like $40.
Ooh.
And this is his old number.
And where do you wear a jersey
He
in
already
your
has a new number.
life?
Anthony Edwards has a
I
second
wear it
number.
to work. What?
Anthony Edwards has a second number.
He went from one to five.
So, like,
So
you
I don't know
wear
why.
a certain player's jersey out just in public and stuff.
Yeah, I'm
I don't
going
think I could
for
do
it.
it.
I'm going
I
for
might
it.
could do it, but I don't think I could do it. Because what if somebody started talking to me about it?
I have a
I
Favre
want to
and
have
an Aaron Rodgers
conversations about
jersey.
it. I want to have conversations about the
I
NBA.
like to wear a
I'm looking
Clemson
for that.
something, but then somebody just talks to me about it, and I go, why'd I fucking wear this?
I want to talk. That's I
Yeah.
want people to know so we can have a conversation about the
It makes me
NBA.
so mad
Nobody
when
wants to talk
somebody,
about it.
I know, it makes me really mad. I promise you, this happens so many times in damn Champaign where somebody's wearing a Green Bay jersey. And I'm like, oh, Green Bay Pack, because we're in the heart of Chicago Bears country.
Right.
And I'm like, if I go, hey, let's go Packers, right? And they go, yeah.
Yeah, I
And
don't know,
walk away. I'm
man.
like, we can't talk for one. I know I don't need to
Just
talk to
wearing
anybody.
clothes. I mean, I like the Packers, I like the Tigers, but I don't, that mean I want to talk to you.
That was for sure the worst part about losing Joey as my friend. Like,
Yeah.
no, I mean, sure,
Packers
the,
talk.
I mean, Bad Christian fell apart. Our decades-long friendship ended, but the Packers talk, I miss it. I mean, we would talk about the Green Bay Packers.
I
It was
know he
really
misses
fun.
it
It's just
too.
fun.
You know he
Yeah,
misses it
I
too.
think he
You know he
probably does
does.
too, because I actually really
Definitely.
care. Like, we
Yeah,
both actually
right.
really cared, and it meant something, and we would try to watch the game together on Zoom and stuff. I actually really, like, that was really something. I actually really
Yeah.
missed that. You know, like, I didn't get to talk to him at all about Aaron Rodgers. You
Yeah,
know what I
that's
mean? And
crazy.
speaking of Aaron Rodgers, did y'all hear him on Rogan?
Yeah, I
It
didn't
was
listen
just
to it.
so awful.
Yeah, he's
I
pretty
thought it was
awful
just,
in a lot of
What was the
ways. I was like,
conversation?
it was
What
a
was the conversation more about?
very boring
Really
conversation.
boring.
He didn't call Aaron out on anything? No,
Mm-mm.
they're
buddies. Like they're
I
buddied
know,
up.
but he didn't challenge him a little bit or
No,
nothing.
even when he asked about the Kimmel stuff, it was like, I don't know. I mean, I don't even I'm
Yeah.
just I mean, I have
Yeah.
a really specific take on Aaron that it un I find him unsettling because I feel that he is a really smart guy and knows what he's doing, and he's just positioning himself the way he's positioning himself, and I just am not finding any
I agree.
authenticity there. And
100%.
with Joe, I think he is authentic, but then when I hear him interact with Aaron, who I feel like I have a good understanding of as a person, then it makes me start thinking, well, does Joe not see it? It's the same as I see it. Or I don't know. Is everybody, what, you know, it starts to weird me out just a little bit, given that I feel I understand Aaron well. And it's like, what is happening here? Why does this feel so inauthentic? But is it just because I have insight about Aaron and that really everything is that way? Or is it just that Joe doesn't see it? Or it comes because it's pretty normal, but they just talk about the most boring, dumbest stuff. It does not feel authentic or real. Right. It feels just general positioning of their in common things about, and it's not even stuff that's crazy or that I super disagree with or anything. It's just boring in that it sounds like positioning yourself to a demographic for whatever fucking reason you do that type of behavior. Right. Is that the way you say it, Toby? I mean, that's the way I would say it, but how would you say that same thing?
Well, the thing I didn't like was I noticed one thing that stood out to me. When you're talking about positioning yourself, whatever, if you notice, like the first time he was on, and then, like, I've known him. I mean, we just might as well say we even have slept at his house. People probably heard this, tells this story.
Yeah, probably.
It used to be like one of my biggest flexes, like name drops. I was like, man, I actually got to, I mean, he, you know, we know his, some of his family members, friends from Chico, and we were in some bands that they, you know, they grew up in Chico.
We had personal experience and relations with Aaron and his family.
And so we've known him for a really long time. Not close. I mean, we've only been in a room with him once or twice, maybe something like that.
We're close to his brother.
Yeah, close to his brother.
Yeah.
And his best friends from Chico or whatever.
Right, right.
People that have known him his whole life. And I know a lot of
not much of a flex, but he was always very careful with the way he was with media. Like, he was very reserved for a very long time. Kind of not, I mean, you know, and it was pretty quiet. And then all of a sudden, something did flip, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to date famous people. I'm going to do that for a while and do all this. And then, like, I heard – it was so funny. I heard Daniel Tosh talking about it, and it was just so funny. He was like – because, you know, he basically implied that Jimmy Kimmel was a pedophile. And then Jimmy Kimmel said, if you say that, I'm going to sue you or something. It got kind of serious. And then Pat McAfee was like, man, I'm so glad that, you know, Aaron Rodgers isn't on this – on our show anymore for the rest – you know, whatever. And it's very strange. He's very conspiracy theory, and the whole like COVID stuff, he was being really sneaky on that. Not that it was bad. I'm totally pro. Don't put something in your body. You don't want to. Don't do something to your body that other people tell you to do that you should. I'm pro that. But the way he did it was a little strange.
It's an appeal to people that want, it's just flat. It's like not a living point of view. It's
but now he sees it. But the thing I noticed was he used the F word a ton on Joe Rogan this time. Like, he was dropping fuck over and over and over. And I was like, this, I thought it was intentional.
It
was a little bit, it was more of a little bit of a push. Like, hey, I'm just hanging out. Well, I don't even know if it's a bad guy.
It's a villainous, thing.
No, I don't think he thinks that. I actually think he is trying to make himself seem like an everyman, because that's what he thinks Joe Rogan is. He thinks Joe Rogan shows you what it's really like, and I'm like you. I'm not like these other people.
It's an everyman, but it's
hanging out with the bros. Fuck it, man. You know, we're out here. This is what we do, and this is how we are. And I'm just, you know, you like Joe Rogan. He does the ice baths and the stuff. I do all that stuff too, and I'm healing my Achilles. But I'm just actually just like this. I'm not like the left liberals or the what, you know. And I was like, oh. But he doesn't understand. He's totally fake. Like,
it's definitely that, but it's got a little bit of a wrestling heel vibe to it. Like, get in trouble with Pat McAfee.
He doesn't think that, though. I don't think he thinks that. I think
that's part of it. It's just the being polarizing on purpose, trying to make the NFL mad at him, so he's the rebel against the thing. Totally it's all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure he. I mean, I just don't think he realizes that he's not being authentic or whatever. I think he's
lost.
Actually, well, no. I'm not saying lost, whatever you want to call it. He's convinced, you know what I mean? Like, he's convinced of something.
Yeah.
And so he just thinks, oh, well, I'm just going to say it.
It's like what he's just said. Okay. All he's doing is whatever he's doing after he. Okay, he's not trying to be Troy Aikman, Tony Romo, and announce at the Super Bowl in four years from now. But he knows his career's almost ending, so he's positioning, blah, 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 blah. I don't care what. That's all I know that's going on, which is fine.
Sure.
But it seems it just doesn't seem authentic. That's all I'm saying. Whatever the strategy is, I'm not sure, but it is a strategy of a way of being instead of just being who you are. That's the only way I'm making the criticism.
Well, the way Daniel Tosh said it, and I was like, yeah, that makes total sense. He was like, he said, I've never heard the smartest person in the room let you know that they're the smartest person in the room.
Yes,
you
know definitely. What I mean?
Of course he's smart and all stuff, but the same way, what were we talking about a minute ago? With Jimmy Kimmel. Like Daniel Tosh also said, I was really laughing. Have y'all listened to Daniel Tosh's podcast?
He's great. Hilarious. I love it.
His podcast is so awesome. He just interviews like regular people. Like he interviews his hairdresser, his wife's gynecologist. He's interviewed a pit boss right now from Las Vegas that he always gambled with, knew him real well. It's just so great. He's amazing. And on this latest episode, it makes total sense now. His dad's a pastor. Do you know that?
Daniel Tosh's dad's
a pastor. It's really fun. It's really interesting. But he said, it doesn't matter. It just made a joke about Aaron Rodgers. But I just the thing that I realize now is famous people don't know anything more than you. They just somehow stumble into fame. Similar, like my kids ask me probably, no joke, probably 5 to 10 times a year. Dad, you're famous, right? And I always say no. I say no, I'm not. Mm-hmm. Because what does that even mean? Like, what are they trying to say? What do they mean? What do my kids mean by, Dad, you're famous, right? I know in the loosest sense or the simplest sense, it's people know you, right? But what does that really mean? That's not good for anybody. It's really bad. And Aaron Rodgers and anybody is way better off without it. Even us, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah, like
you folks
good.
Listen to this podcast are killing me. I'm joking, but I mean we've handled it pretty good. But I don't, being famous isn't good. Like if I really buy into that, I go, actually, I'm pretty famous. It's Toby is gone. Well, then
that's the same as rich. Gone. If you ask somebody if they're rich, they go, oh no, it doesn't matter how much money they have. It's like no. I mean, there's famous people are like other. Like rich, I'm not rich. I only make $300,000. Right.
Yeah, but if they're saying that, like then they continue to grow their wealth and do good. But once they go, yeah, I'm actually pretty badass. Then it's like you can't be authentic ever again. Then there's something.
But I mean,
that
people
you.
Inherently know it's not really good. Is what I'm saying. Yeah, like being rich, people are like, well, nah, like I wouldn't want that. But they are and want to be and try to be until somebody acknowledges that they are, and then they want to not be.
Yeah,
they don't want to be seen as that or whatever. But famous because you know it can't be good, and it's like the problem with all of this stuff that I think is the shallowness, the badness of the social media and all the stuff is everybody's trying to be a celebrity, and something is lost when you know that it's the thing that same fucking thing that happens when somebody who has an Instagram account. Where they post their food or whatever random stuff, and then all of a sudden it's like since they're in real estate now, they're all professional. It's like, well, that person is gone. The person I no longer have access to. It's a professional something, and they're in that. And it's like I read it in a book or something. It was saying, like, if you have thoughts about Mother Teresa and you think she's great, as an example, that's awesome and she's great, whatever, you think that about her. But it would be quite disturbing if the thoughts that you have about Mother Teresa, she had exactly about herself. That would be weird. Do you know what I mean? She's just doing what she does. She's not the one going, I'm so the great, most wonderful. Like that, you don't think that's what the person is doing.
Right.
And so when you're presenting yourself totally self-aware of the position person you're trying to be, and you know who you are and you're presenting yourself as that person to other people, that's fucked up. Like once you know the character you are, and then you be the character that you know that you are, you've now become two-dimensional. Like it's gone. Something's gone.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like you can't think about yourself, like the thing that you know you are. I am the everyman. Well, you're obviously not then. If you know that you're positioned as the everyman because you're the everyman, then you're fake.
If you're out,
you know what I mean?
Yes. If you have to label yourself an everyman, then you're obviously not an everyman.
Right. Whatever the thing that you know that you are, that now you're putting effort into your Twitter account, like, and you put it in the bio and then you present it, then that's what you're not.
Yeah.
Or you are it, but it's the thinnest that it's not real.
I mean, a good example of that right now is the whole thing with the Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. It's just so funny. It's just so funny. Like, I can't really even believe it. Like, did y'all, I mean, I know we're a week removed, but, I mean, y'all watched it and it was a crazy
It's like royal,
game
it's like the royal
end.
Family or something. It's like, well, I don't know. I don't know what and that is, but it's not real people.
It's all these celebrities up there. And I mean, Taylor Swift you know, I got no problem with any of that, but it's just wild how every single person and all these young people just want to be her.
I guess she's like the most famous person in the world right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting because, okay, I want to give her a little bit of slack. She's not asking really for the camera to keep
blaming her. Yeah.
So, I mean, she probably on a certain level appreciates it for her business life. Well,
very certain level.
Yeah. But I also wonder if not, because it was funny because I talked to my kids after school, after the Super Bowl, and my daughter was like, I was like, hey, what y'all talk about? I said, y'all talk about the Super Bowl at all? Anybody watch it? Go to parties? But they were like, well, everybody was just talking about how much they're over Taylor Swift. And I was like, yeah. The thing is, if you get overexposed, if you're famous and get overexposed, you do start being disliked. You know what I mean? Like, remember when it was like, oh, yeah, the Patriots, they're cool. And then all of a sudden, everybody's like, oh, they're shitty and evil. Now I hate them. You know what I mean? Like, that happens to everybody. And now everybody's like, kind of, I think in some ways, people are like, okay, what in the hell? Why were we watching? How much were we watching Taylor Swift during the Super Bowl? What does that have to do even with the Super Bowl? One of the players' girlfriends? We have to really show her and her friend Blake live. I was like, I was watching it and a cool play happened and Blake Lively goes, shut the fuck up. And I was like, I don't think she cares about the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't think there's
not at all.
You know what I mean? And there are people there at that Super Bowl that have waited their whole life to be at that game and do this. And that, you know, and they're sitting in the cold Vegas. So I guess it wasn't terribly cold or whatever. They flew there, did all this stuff. And I was like, and they're showing these people, they're showing these rich people. How can you not dislike them? They're in a $1 million suite. I heard that Travis Kelce paid $1 million so they could all sit together. I was like, I wonder if he really did. I'm pretty sure the CBS was like, hey, we'll hook you up a little bit here because we want her in the
I mean,
we want her at the game. You know what I mean? They're not, It's worth so
much.
So
I was thinking she must have crossed over to a higher level of icon and has passed Michael Jackson. She just has passed Michael Jackson. Like, Michael Jackson performed at a Super Bowl, but she's beyond that. She's got to, like, in relation to her time and era and where she is, she's more than probably Michael Jackson, and pretty much she's not Elvis yet. And maybe this is the peak, like you said, Toby. I can't imagine she gets bigger than right now.
Yeah,
I can't really imagine.
I don't see how you could get bigger.
You can't get bigger.
I don't think she's going to necessarily diminish. It won't diminish like everybody starts hating her. That's not what I'm saying. But I mean, it's kind of like, in some ways, I wonder if it's bad for Travis Kelce on a certain level. Like,
sure.
He has aspirations and stuff. And now, like, he's peaked for sure. He's just a tight end in the NFL. I mean, he's smart and cool, maybe, or whatever. But, I mean, I even thought it was kind of lame when he went up to Andy Reid and bumped Andy Reid during the game.
Oh, that's terrible. Yeah, I don't know.
I was like, come on, dude. What the fuck? I get it. You know sports better than me ever, but that's Andy Reid. Like, he might die if you do that too. You know what I mean? Like, he's, you know, not in the best shape.
What do you think Travis Kelce will be in 18 years from now? Like,
he wants to be an actor. He wants to be like an action star. He thinks my next thing is going here.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
The funniest thing, the craziest thing about Super Bowl.
You think he'll be like a celebrity in a real echelon in more than 10 years from now?
I think he will try to be in movie. He's thinking The Rock's trajectory from wrestling to fame. I think that's what
you think he can do it. I mean, maybe not as big as The Rock, but you think he can be one of those.
I don't think he's talented enough. I
haven't seen evidence of that type of
thing. So many people think of The Rock as like just a big dumb meathead or whatever. He's just brilliant. And I promise you, I saw it in the movie Walking Tall. I mean, in the Walking Tall, I was like, there's something here. This isn't like, I like that movie actually. But I know it's not like a great, most amazing movie, but I knew that there's something good, there. Yeah. I was like, okay, he can do something here. And then
wrestling is closer to that than football.
Yeah, wrestling is acting.
So that's more of that thing. Do you think, what do you think Taylor Swift will be in 10 years? Like, she's pretty young to be famous a long time. If she just, you know, is she going to be really famous for 50 more years?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Like, hold it together and be just showing up places and getting the camera on her for 50 more years.
Some of her music has even, like, went farther than music. Like, Justin Bieber's super famous, but he's just his songs. Or not. You know what I mean? Like, but she's like, her songs, but they're even more. They're like, they're like a mantra for her Swifties or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's more than just, man, what a cool song. It's like, this is everything to me. And she is what I want to be. It's like, I mean, kind of like a goddess or something. You know, I don't know. It's like,
I mean, it's like a royal family.
If there was a god on earth in human form, it'd be probably Taylor Swift, right?
Basically.
Like, what does she do wrong? It's insane. Like, what's her misstep? She does. I mean, she fought, but did she had her music off of Spotify for a long time? And then remember, she redid her song, said, hey, they have my master, so listen to this version, not that version. They do.
Taylor's version,
every right step. She dated the guy that went to the Super Bowl. She even chose the right football player this year. Like, she chose the right football player.
Well, it's that is crazy. I mean, I don't know what you can really. She in no way does she know reality. There's no reality in her life. But every girl thinks.
But she doesn't. She doesn't know that. Like, she doesn't even know that. Like, no, there's nobody who the person
that's not even her fault.
That's what, isn't that weird?
No, like, it's not.
Everybody knows some people don't live in reality, but nobody who doesn't live in reality knows that about themselves. Isn't that terrifying?
I know.
It's wild.
What would be the benefit of her to live in reality?
Yeah.
Reality wouldn't even
But that is her reality.
Yeah, I know. Maybe it doesn't make sense what we're saying, but the thing we're saying, you know, she doesn't agree or know. Go ahead.
What's really funny is, too, is like, she works harder than anybody you know.
Yeah,
so it's not like, you know what I mean? Like, she does stuff that is kind of superhuman in a way with her career and her job. I mean, the way she probably thinks about it and handles it and does all that stuff is amazing. On a side note, before I forget, who was it I was listening to today? I think it was Bill Simmons or whatever. They made Cousin Sal made this really funny comment. I was like, oh, that's so true. No matter what, nobody handles shit better than Patrick Mahomes.
He's the best.
Can you imagine?
His
brother's insane. His wife is crazy. Media constantly wanting attention. His dad got arrested for DUI before the game. His number one receiver is dating Taylor Swift. I mean, they're down. Everything. He just goes right along with it. You don't ever see him frazzled.
It was crazy because he didn't play all that good the first three quarters-ish,
yeah,
two and a half quarters. And I mean, the defense was playing really good, so it was tough. Real he good. Was getting pressured. But it was like you could see his face change. You know what I mean? Like when the fourth quarter was like, oh, he like turned it on. Like that's how he actually – that's how he works. He works under pressure.
Yeah.
But he prefers it. And I thought the same thing about Aaron Rodgers early on.
Yeah.
He kind of preferred the pressure. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I would say that like Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady and maybe Aaron Rodgers and maybe Peyton Manning, I would give them the advantage if they're actually losing with 2 minutes left. I give them the advantage.
When I saw 1 minute, 1 minute, 50 seconds left or whatever it was, I was like, oh, he's definitely going to at least score. He's going to tie this. There's no doubt. Yeah, I should have bet on that.
Yeah, there's no question. Oh, speaking of, should have bet on it. Made a little bit of money last night. Toby?
Last night again?
No. Last night was the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Well, sorry. A week ago last night. sorry, I keep forgetting. But yeah, you made some too.
How did you? Nice. Okay. So Devin's, one of his first bets, he wins like $900.
$900.
And then last night, how did you get those numbers? Devin did the squares, and the squares were 2 and 5, which nobody on earth would pick. That's the least numbers.
That's why I picked two.
You would never pick two or I know, five I ever.
I thought through that. I was like, okay, what numbers? But I look at the odds. I found the largest odds that I could find and put money on it.
The small amount on the big.
As soon as you won, were you just happy or were you like, damn it, I should have put 20?
I didn't even. So you texted after the game and said something because I was watching the game and I wasn't even checking it or thinking about it. And then you texted something about you won. And I was like, oh, I wonder if I won. And then I went on there and my thing was $600 God. Higher than it was.
No.
And that's I was like, insane. I guess I won too. But it was three different bets. It was like the square one and then like a three player parlay kind of thing and something else. But I was like,
I did a good parlay, but it was so funny because my parlay was at first I was going to do Mahomes over 300 yards. And I was talking to Allison's brother-in-law. He's like, oh, statistically, he's done nowhere near that. Like last several games. Right. I mean, he said, bet the under on 300. He ended up having 330, by the way. I was like, I don't know. I just feel like he's going to go off in this game. But I was like, okay. So I played it safe. I said over 254.5 yards for Mahomes. McCaffrey to get 70 over 74.5 yards. McCaffrey to get an anytime touchdown. And for Travis Kelce to be under 94.5 yards. So in the beginning, Travis Kelce wasn't doing anything. I was like, okay, I got that one. But Mahomes wasn't doing anything. So going into the fourth quarter and towards the end, I think even up to the last drive, he was under like even maybe 200 yards. I was like, oh, I've lost.
If it hadn't gone to overtime, you would have lost.
Yeah, right.
Right.
So when it went to overtime, I was like, oh, my gosh. And then so I got Mahomes. McCaffrey was down 20 yards. He was at 54 yards. I need him to get like 20-something more yards. He got it with that drive. But then the scary part was Kelce started – he was at 66. Then he was like 80. I was like, oh, no. Kelce ended with like 93 yards. He was 1.5 yards under my projection, and I won like $220.
That's cool. Big.
I was like, holy crap. It was like a cool parlay that I did that should have lost. But
it's cool.
I will speak.
Yeah, it's going on. It's the thing. I've been doing it some here and there, and it's fun.
But, yeah, I don't bet.
I don't know how guys bet so much money.
I couldn't.
I understand the appeal of it, of course. I mean, that's my personality. It just
they don't understand how you don't.
Yeah, Lunsford goes.
The big money don't.
Yeah, but Lunsford's not
going to
bet.
Don't.
He's not going to bet more than.
No, Lunsford doesn't do it.
$100 or something. He's not going to bet thousands. There's guys who bet
on sports and stuff, but they just $500,000.
You know, it's just like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah,
but you know. It's cool.
Well, that's the thing that about Lunsford, though, is that it just means I don't think he actually enjoys betting. He just wants to win. Tell people, like how much I want. Part. Like, I don't care if I lose $3. I like the betting of it and going, oh, you know what? I could have put this with this and parlayed it this way. Like, I actually enjoy the betting. Whatever he's doing doesn't even seem fun. That seems like he shouldn't bet.
Yeah, like I love the game of it. The game of it's the best thing. I mean, that's fun.
It's
same as
so
anything.
Fun when you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to put, like, especially like NBA or whatever. Like, I'm so excited. I was telling Devin, I cannot wait to bet on, like, the Masters. All the majors for golf is so fun. You can pick somebody in the top 10, top 20, top 5.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, y'all get Colin Morikawa or something, or, you know, whatever it is. You know, the live players are coming over. They're going to do good or bad, you know, all that stuff. I mean, it would just be all that stuff's just really fun. It makes the game a lot more fun, too.
Yeah, I do those 25-leg parlays. I do those
all
the time.
How long does that take you to build those?
It is just so much fun.
It is, isn't it?
Like, you just – I'm just looking. I'm like, all right, I think that, and I like to kind of, I think the more you do, like with pretty good odds, each one has pretty good odds, like minus 200 or whatever, you know what I mean? Like minus 300 or something like that. So like pretty good odds, and then you just stack them up and it adds to the value, of course. So like, you know, I'll do a $2 for $4,000, you know, like, just bet $2, but if it worked, that's $4,000. You know what I mean? So
it's like rolling a sequence of dice that's like a 2 or a 6 of 5 times or something.
Just luck. But I mean,
like right now, I got a parlay going. Right, check this one out. I bet $6.40, and I'll win $44 on this. My my parlay is the Milwaukee Bucks win tonight, which in the fourth quarter with 5 minutes left, it's 81-100. Milwaukee is up. They're going to beat the Denver. So I got that right. Giannis over 30.5 points. He's already done it.
Nice.
But then I have Damon Lillard over 25.5 points. And he's only got 18. So I need him to get 8 points in 5 minutes left. Oof. And most likely he's not going to do it, is he? I mean, Mike, I guess that's only – nah, there's no – I don't think he's going to get 8 points. Will he?
I don't know. I don't know. It's tough. I mean, y'all saw – I sent you a couple that I lost by like half a point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like something. I'm like, are you kidding me?
So close.
But yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's just fun. I won a little one tonight. Oh, $10 for, and I won 21. That's pretty good.
Damn.
But I bet
you don't gamble at all. Well, you can't gamble where you live. It's terrible.
Oh,
I don't understand why. The gambling thing, I just totally realized, like, it's bad, right? It, like, people will do bad. Like, whenever I tell anybody I'm gambling, like, we were at Allison's house, her family's house for, the Super Bowl, and I was like, oh, I reiterated several times, I have a free bet. I signed up for this MGM betting app, and they give you a couple of bonus bets, right? So all I did was deposit $5 or $10, and they gave me like a $50 bet I could do. That's how I won the $220. You just had, like, my money I put in was $10, I think. But I had $50 to bet or I lose it in 7 days. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to bet on the Super Bowl. That'll be fun. That's how I won. But even though I reiterated, this is not my money. I said, and I tell everybody, I don't really bet that much. Like, I'm basically broke even over the years that I've bet on these apps, on DraftKings or whatever. They go, yep, you can't do that. This, oh, really? Yeah, I could never. Like, Alice's mom was like, I'm not going to lose money. Let me keep my money. I said, you know what? I'm telling you, it's a free bet, and it makes it fun. And it just makes it fun. It's something I like.
People worry.
I'm not gonna say how terrible you are that an Amazon package is delivered to your house several times a day. You know how many Amazon packages are delivered to my house? Maybe one every few weeks. You know, it's hilarious. I will say this. One of the funniest things about my divorce is there's no Amazon packages at my door every day. Like, there used to be Amazon packages all the time, and they just aren't now. I was like, whoa, that's interesting. I just, you know, I'm not saying I'm good with money or that it's even bad, the stuff that you get from Amazon you need, but, you know, it's really funny. And I was like, well, did we lose Matt?
I'm here.
Oh,
okay, good.
Oh, we lost his
video. My video cut off for some reason.
Well, you're recording, so I was like, I thought we lost you.
Yeah.
But
yeah, people
just
do
think
get,
if you,
yeah.
They and get I think a little... it's because it's like, they're like Lunsford. Like, they don't really like gambling. They just want to win or not. You know what I mean?
Either
like, that's all they can care
or
about.
Lose. That's bad. Right.
The only reason sports gambling works is if it's true in your heart that makes you enjoy the sports more.
Yeah.
If it's about money and winning, you are in the farther than you need to be.
Without gambling, that was one of the worst Super Bowls I've ever even seen.
It's if that, you that are doing the sports gambling and then it's not. You know, that it's fun if it's enhancing the game. But if you're sports gambling to get more money, you are in the wrong territory.
No, and I'm not that.
I know. I'm not saying you are. You bet a $3.
Oh, you're saying if you are. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. And it's not really and that's kind of why I really like the parallel to the Amazon packages, because you know that a lot of people that get Amazon packages like the feeling of getting Amazon packages regardless of what's in them.
Right.
Oh, they don't remember
that's similar.
What's in them.
That's a similar weirdness. Yeah, like that cycle is really addictive. It's so crazy what that's like. Like just the getting of the packages.
It's like why kids like watching YouTube videos of other kids opening.
Yeah, that's over the line. I mean, you need to recognize. You just need to recognize the signals that you're just over the line.
Oh yeah, I know it could be bad, but it's funny.
People don't recognize the signals once they get over the line.
It's the same with alcohol and, you know, our Southern Christianity. It's a touchy subject. Like, whoa. And maybe it's okay, but not really okay. You know what I mean? So people are like, whoa. it feels wrong around when you just even talk about you placed a bet.
There's certain people that just are not going to be able to handle really tempting stuff like same day delivery.
They're like, how can you? Yeah, how could you?
They can't handle it.
Right.
It's dangerous. But some people can. You just get your packages. You just drink a beer. You just bet a little bit.
Right.
Or drink five beers or bet $80 sometime. But some people
it's funny
can.
Though, because I'll tell Megan, like I told her when I won the 900, she was like, what? And then last night I was like, yeah, I think I won $600. She was like, really? Yeah. I was like, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, yeah, but if you said, oh man, I lost $10 tonight, she goes, ooh.
Yeah, but I just don't tell her. I mean, I'll tell her. She knows I do it sometimes.
Yeah.
But I just don't tell her every bet I make. I'm not going to tell her every single bet I make. There's no reason to. So she's like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, I do some bets, you know, but I'm way, way in the positive. Like, way in the positive. I think
most people's story.
$1,200 in the positive. So for me, it's like, it's just, I'm not going to gamble that much anyway. So every time I get money, I put it directly in the bank account.
But that's also funny. If you lost that $1,200, people say you might have a gambling problem.
Right.
The best part is
just play over the course of a long time.
But if you played what I'm saying is like, you could lose that $1,200, like playing the game and enjoying playing the games.
Yes.
Even if you lost, you know, but, and you didn't lose actually any of your own money. You literally
it was just entertainment. Yeah.
The you know, the casino's money. But they would think, oh my God, you lost $1,200. You could have spent that on anything, Devin. But you're like, no, but I spent on the thing that I enjoy doing.
You spend that's hilarious.
No one goes, oh my God, you spent $500 this year on golf. You know what I mean? Nobody thinks that. It doesn't even,
no,
that's
don't.
What's so funny is if you spend money gambling, it's like, well, I lost that. It's, you know, I spend money, I make. It's like part of making money, spending money. I spend some money on $40 a year. If you win money, or especially a larger sum, you don't think, you tell your wife, oh, I won $900. She doesn't think, oh, good, our bank account balance is higher. She thinks, what? She thinks how to spend it. Thinks of, like, you go, well, now we can go to
bonus.
We could use that money.
I know. Like, immediately becomes something you would have bought that you wouldn't have bought otherwise, instead of you just have more money. It's so funny. That makes me laugh.
Yeah, that is very funny.
Like, people, if I told Bridget, so I won $2,500, she'd be like, we're going to, she's like thinking of a city in her mind by the end of its, $2,500 of flights to something, you know.
So people, that's what I'm saying. People enjoy gambling if you win, and if you
lose, you don't talk about it. It was $50, it's $80. But if you win, I mean, it's
same
goes
with
to something
crypto. Same with crypto. Everybody talks about the good and the, you know, the bad. You're just like,
don't hear about it.
I don't know. You know, they win some, you lose some. I do wonder, are you okay when we go to when we were Young Fest, we're playing 2 days in a row. What is that? October. Mm-hmm. It's like October 18th, 19th, 20th, some whatever
something
the weekend,
like
in the middle of October.
20, I think.
Are y'all going to specifically, because of this trip, set aside real money to gamble, like to lose? Like, how much money would you, like, because you're going to be there for 2 days. And it, I mean, it's a great fest. It's a great time. We're probably bringing wives and girlfriends. It's like a real, we're going to enjoy it not only for the shows, but. Like, first of all, I can't wait to see like Mike Kim and all that stuff. But are y'all going to set aside money to actually gamble and lose? And if you do, are y'all's wives cool?
That means
that?
To put it on a scale, $100 isn't something you set aside. $100, even $200, you just
show up with that.
So when you talk about the term set aside, we all know what that means. That means 500.
500.
That's exactly the number. That's what it means.
No other number.
If you set aside, you set aside $500.
I set aside. Got to.
I mean, I think I
got
to set aside $500 to lose and go, this is fun. Instead of going to a theme park or a magic show that's $100, $150 ticket, I want to sit at all the tables and gamble.
Does Bridget, she's going to do $500. Though she's more aggressive, she's the one that wanting to do it more than me. If we go somewhere like that, I'm like, yeah, good job, babe. Maybe we should just cash out.
Yeah, she'll get going. You're like,
she gets going. Yeah,
yeah.
You're uneasy.
Yeah. Megan does too.
Megan will let me probably. She enjoys it, but she's a little conservative to put too much in. So she enjoys watching me do it though. So
I'll just grant Bridget $500, and that'll be, and maybe I'll do a little.
Just sit back and. Let it happen.
Yeah, I'm going to put back a little each week and then I'm going to be in good shape. Then I'll go, okay.
I'll just save some of my current sports betting winnings.
Yeah, I know. You're set.
Yeah, you just yeah, I got, just cash some of that out.
I will.
Devin will gamble. How much do you think you really will gamble, Devin?
That's what I don't think I will. I don't think I'd do more than 500.
But you will do 500.
Oh, for 500. Sure, yeah. 500.
So, I mean, Vegas thinks they're so happy we're going to be there. They're probably going to make
they're happy
a few thousand dollars off of us if our whole band does 500 each.
Yeah, Chris won't.
Chris won't.
Chris will be like,
no, the funniest thing about Chris is we went to a casino. We had a day off, and we're like, oh, we're going to go to a casino. We're going to give everybody $100 to gamble. Everybody, here's your $100, Dave. Here's yours, Josh. Here's yours, Devin. Here's yours, Matt. Here's yours, Toby. And we're like, hey, Chris, we know you're new in the band. And at the time, Chris wasn't even like official member of the band. But we're like, Chris, we love you, dude. Here's $100 to gamble. And he goes, oh, thanks, man. This is awesome. He goes, do y'all care if I just keep this? I don't really gamble much. Well, we just gave Chris $100. We all died laughing. We're like, yeah, sure, man. That's totally. I mean, that was his gamble to ask that question, and he won.
Right.
But we were like, oh, it was specifically for gambling, but I guess
it's
you're right.
It's $100 for you to gamble. Do I have to gamble it? Well, go ahead and give me that back.
Can we just have that back? We just slowly take the 100 out of his hand. If I wasn't in that situation, that's funny. That's why I really like Chris and work with him, because he's really honest to you. You know what I mean? He's telling you all, you know, where to. Like, I would have gone, oh man, this is so awesome, guys. Thank you so much. I'm running to the bathroom real quick, and then you never saw me again.
I'm going to go play this thing over here. You stand there and pretend to play a slot machine for 40 minutes. I've
been on the slot machine. Yes. Man, I don't know about the tables. I'll be over at the slots. You know, I'm just hitting a button. It's like 1 cent. How about I lose $1? And I'm like, I'm getting good tired. I would have lied. I would have hidden it. I would have taken that $100 for sure.
All right. Thursday, March 14th. We're kicking it off in Augusta, Georgia.
Ooh.
And then Atlanta, Pensacola, Tampa, Orlando, West Palm Beach, Ponte Verde Beach, Birmingham, Memphis, and Nashville. That's by Sunday, March 24th. Awesome. Those are going to be good. It's week's end, playing the week's end, playing some extra songs, but really going to give the treatment to that one. The Almost will be there, Southern Weather.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets selling already, going good. They're going to be good shows that, you know, this year is a good one for us. We got other stuff coming, but this is what we got focused on right now.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. And we're just going to, it's that album is really easy to play for some reason. Maybe because we practiced it for 1,000 hours, even though that was a long time ago. I mean,
it's definitely the easiest one to play in my brain. Because the way it's written was written from a not in a studio setting where you're trying to come up with stuff, is written from a performing it setting. So it's natural the way, which is, you know, maybe better. I mean, it is better.
That's going to be fun.
On It and Week's End are the two albums that are the most similar for that reason. They're played albums. They're played more than recorded.
That's true.
Right. What else is going on?
Pre-show. Going over to Part Deux.
Yeah, the pre-show.
Join Emeryland. Oh, we got a pre-show for that. Yeah, that's acoustic playing.
We got a pre-show for that.
You know, that's a good one. It's a full band, intimate thing, up close and acoustic. You can bring you get to bring two people with you if you come to that during the afternoon. Bring an old person, bring a young person, bring your boss. Whoever you've been saying, like, oh, y'all got to hear Emery, but they don't want to come to maybe the whole show. Just take them after work. Come to the afternoon, evening part of it, and then send them home if they don't want to stay. If they want to stay, they can buy a ticket after that.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Y'all want to read any names this week?
You got them. Read them.
Y'all got them?
I don't know.
And these are people that joined Emery. No, we don't got them.
We got it.
Okay. It's somewhere in them.
But I got a – okay.
Have joined Emeryland and will be joining us over to listen to Part Deux as soon as this episode's over. We're going to flip over, keep on going.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I got to look at them. Dang it. Hold on. Sorry. Let me see if you can find it. But
I think I might have it.
Okay. So the first name while you're looking, see if you can find it. Okay. First name is Nicole Stevens. And all these people wanted to say their favorite slang term for butthole. And Nicole Stevens.
Okay.
favorite one is leather Cheerio.
Nice. Leather Cheerio.
What do y'all say about a butthole? Do you say butthole? Do you say asshole? Like when you really, do you say anus? Like if you really
I don't
want
to take them from the other people.
But I'm just asking what you say. No, y'all don't say any weird ones.
No.
That's a chocolate starfish. No.
Yeah, that was one actually. Well, Matt did steal it.
That's what I mean. What do you want me to do?
That was Chris Payton's. Thanks, Matt, for ruining Chris Payton's.
Thanks, Matt.
God dog, man.
It's like Cosmos on toys. That Dad, come wipe my chocolate starfish.
I just say butthole. Yeah, I think I just say butthole naturally.
Yeah, I think I just say butthole. Like if there was something wrong, like you had a hemorrhoid or something, you go, hey, I need to tell you on my butthole. Would you tell the doctor? What word would you use to a doctor? You're sitting in the doctor's office. You have a hemorrhoid and you're like, oh, it's really irritating. What do you say?
Oh,
and you don't know what a hemorrhoid is. Yeah. Matt would say, oh, tooth look great, Matt, because that was Melissa Cullis. Great, Matt.
Oh, toothless one.
You know, Doc, I got a little something going on, toothless one down there, if you want to check it out.
That's what my dad would say to
a
doctor.
Your dad would tell the doctor that.
He would say anything. It wouldn't matter. There's no rules.
You got any cream for my old toothless one?
He would make a joke and reference, oh, toothless one. To the doctor, you know what I mean? Not
right.
Actually,
no. Your dad is when somebody fart. He says, "Speak to me, oh toothless one."
Yeah, he said that all the time.
Oh my gosh!
All right, what's the next one?
This is Braden Thrasher. Is that that's not Thrasher though?
We said that last week too.
Yeah,
this, or like quickly said it. No, it's not Thrasher. His name's Braden Thrasher.
And maybe that's not our Thrasher that we know.
That's Hank Thrasher. Hank and
Sloppy
Hank.
Chili Hole. He loves Sloppy Chili Hole.
Sloppy nice. Chili Hole.
Doc, I'm having some irritation in my Sloppy Chili Hole. Oh, man. And then Noah Elrod calls his butthole an Elrod.
I like that.
If you fit.
Oh, man. All right. Yeah, you can join Emeryland. Definitely do. There's some, there's a lot of fun over there. Some new things coming. We're doing more and more, and you get a lot of music in there. So join it. You get your name read here on the podcast. And we sure would appreciate it. It helps us make this podcast and make music and all that stuff. So, then you get part two, which we're headed over to right now.
Yep.
So we'll see y'all later.
See ya.